So, who's going trick-or-treating? Anybody? There you go. It's October 28th, and in a few days, children of all kinds will dress up in costumes of all kinds and go trick-or-treating. Any favorite costumes that you have dressed up in as over the years as you've grown up? Any favorites? Oh, I remember one year I was...
A witch?
Luke Skywalker. What was that? Albert Fudd. Elmer Fudd.
In the Sputnik days, I took a 5-gallon paper ice cream bucket, opened the hole, used silver, and became a astronaut.
There you go, an astronaut. Excellent. You guys did much better than the first service. Yes.
It wasn't up to me. I was a little kid, and I don't know what my mom was thinking, but she dressed me up as Aunt Jemima.
Aunt Jemima, there you go. That's an adventurous one. There you go. How sweet. All right, that was bad. Sorry. Halloween's an interesting holiday. It has both Christian and pagan roots. It's a time to be scared, or at least have a little fun being scared. And for those of us who go in for that sort of thing, it's got lots of candy. Now, I think it's a matter of personal perspective, so I hope parents don't get mad at me when I say that I don't have a problem with Halloween. While the graphicness of the blood and the gore and the horror can go too far for my taste, I personally don't have a problem with Halloween and its reveling in zombies and spirits and things from the dark side. Within limits, I don't have a problem with having a little fun with the things that scare us. And it's not only because I like candy. I think it's good to face the things that scare us. I think it's good to face our fears, which is fun with dark things is all about. Because it's only when we face our fears that we can overcome them with love. It's when we bury our fears, it's when we hide our dark sides, it's when we try to run from the spirits and the witches that bedevil us, it is then that these things do us most harm. So this morning, October 28th, a few days before we go trick-or-treating, I just thought we'd think about what it is that we are afraid of. What are you afraid of this morning? When we ask this question in the context of our reflection in worship, we are not talking about what movie you find most scary or what costume you should wear when you go trick or treating. In this context, we are inviting you to reflect on the things that really scare you. What are you really afraid of this morning? Is it that you don't or will not have enough to live on financially? Is it that your work isn't good enough, or that you aren't smart enough, or talented enough, or energetic, or focused enough? Are you afraid that you won't accomplish some particular life goal? Are you afraid that some wound, emotional or spiritual, are you afraid that it won't heal? Or are you afraid of a behavior that you cannot curb? Or an illness that just doesn't seem to be healed? Are you afraid of that sin that you seem to carry that you are afraid can't be forgiven? Are you afraid of being alone? Or losing or messing up a relationship? Are you afraid of growing older? Are you afraid of dying? Perhaps you bear a fear for the planet, with our current ecological crisis being what it is. Are you afraid for our nation? if one or another candidate wins the election on Tuesday coming up? Are you afraid? What are you afraid of this morning? Truth be told, I think we're all afraid of something. Fear is a great motivator, often a hidden one. It is a driver, a great driver of many things. We don't dress up as goblins or spirits or Darth Vader here, but this is the place where we face our fears. At least it should be. Church isn't the place where you are always supposed to look your best. Church is supposed to be the place where you don't have to be afraid to look your worst. I know that this is much easier to say in a sermon than it is to live out. And we fail spectacularly much of the time. But we pursue this vision that this is a place where we face the things that scare us. Mark, the gospel writer, doesn't actually say it, but I think fear plays a big role in our story. It's one of those, what we call in Bible study, narrative gap. And I may be projecting myself into this story, but I think that Bartimaeus was afraid. I think that Bartimaeus was afraid on that day on the road leading out of Jericho. I think he was afraid. That was why he cried out. I think he was afraid that Jesus would pass him by. That's scary to me. Bartimaeus was a blind beggar at the bottom of things. Jesus was a healer passing by, and he had one shot. He couldn't let it pass. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Shh, said those around him. Be quiet. Stop your caterwauling, you blind beggar. Don't bother this Jesus. You are just a blind beggar. Be quiet. There are noise ordinances, you know. But Bartimaeus doesn't let the crowd determine his destiny. Instead of giving in to his fear, he lets his fear motivate him. He cries out all the louder, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stops. So what are you afraid of this morning? Are you afraid that Jesus won't stop for you? Are you afraid that Jesus isn't all we hope he is? Are you afraid that your faith won't make things well? Now, there's a danger in this story, a very present danger, because when Jesus says, go, your faith has made you well, it makes faith sound like a formula. As something we do, something we have to do or accomplish or achieve. But in the larger sweep of the Bible, in Mark's gospel, faith is anything but a formula. There's no list of prerequisite beliefs. There's no special way you have to look. You don't have to have that unique walk. You don't have to know the secret handshake. You don't have to believe in a particular set of doctrines or attend church a particular number of Sundays or even have a particular percentage of income given. Faith is merely the willingness cry out. The willingness to risk and not let the world or our own fears shush us. That's faith, simply crying out, Jesus, Son of David, stop for me, please. Bartimaeus invites you to cry out as the healer passes. Don't let the crowds or circumstances shush you. Don't think you have to go it alone, or that you have to take it like a man, or that you have to just buck up. This is the place where we acknowledge our fears, face them, and cry out for the one who receives our fears and returns love to take their place. And it's not a one-time deal. It's a life journey. It's not a solitary walk. It's a family trip. And we are on it together. Church is supposed to be the community when the world tries to hush us up. We are the community that says, take heart, get up, Jesus is calling you. He stopped, can you see him? Sometimes we fail spectacularly. And it's usually because all of us are afraid of something. But this is our vision. We are a gathering of souls praying for Jesus to stop. Come by here, Lord. And we wait for Jesus to say, go, your faith has made you well. We follow along the way. To be honest, there are questions that remain. God is wholly other, and we can't place our timelines or our conditions upon God. And in addition to that, the fact is that sometimes we're not healed, at least in the time that we'd like or in the ways that we would choose. And sometimes things just don't make sense. Evil is evil, and it's not because of providence. It's not because God wishes or intends or has some other plan for us. Sometimes evil is just evil, and it doesn't make sense, and it defies our understanding. And Lord, that's just the way it is, and that's the mystery and ambiguity of life. Those questions remain. But Bartimaeus doesn't wallow there. Through the years of his blindness, sitting by the side of the road, he could have given up, but he didn't give in to his fears. He puts himself in the best position possible to meet the healer. And he cries out as he passes. The world tries to shush him, to hush him up, but it cannot. We're about to sing, morning has broken. How absurd is it to sing about morning has broken a story of blindness when we're in darkness and we don't know the morning is there? Morning has broken. Does that make sense? Sometimes these hymns are not statements of fact, they are prayers. And we get together, and even though the darkness surrounds us, we sing that prayer as Bartimaeus cried out, Lord, let morning break for me and for us and for those in need. We might not be able to penetrate all the answers and mysteries of life, but we can put ourselves in the best position to meet the healer. This is true individually, I believe, and corporately. Over the last few days, we've had the Bioneers Conference here, and one of the presenters was Dan Drost. And he talked about greenhouses. And he talked about greenhouses because greenhouses are all about creating the optimal temperature zone. You know, when the temperatures go too high, when the temperatures drop too low, you build greenhouses and you have different plants with different zones, different ranges of temperature where they will prosper. You gardeners know that, right? Certain amount of temperature where tomatoes grow best, strawberries another, blueberries another. And if you go, temperatures go too low, you get chilling or frost injury. If they get too high, you get sun scalding. So you build greenhouses, you build high tunnels, and you build low tunnels, and you build low tunnels in high tunnels, inside of high tunnels. And all of these are to create an optimal temperature zone for life to grow. That's what we do. As a community of faith for each other and in God's Spirit, we come when the conditions are harsh outside, and we come together and we create optimal temperature zones for us to discover life. And we place ourselves through our prayers, through our reflection, through our study, through our life together, we help place each other in the best position to meet the healer. And we pray for Jesus to stop. And we hear the good news that Jesus is waiting. Get up, take heart. He is calling you. What do you cry out this morning? Bart teaches us, Bartimaeus that is, I like to call him Bart. Teaches us that the one thing we don't have to be afraid of is making noise. Making noise, crying out. A few weeks, about a month before my wedding, before we got married, you know, you're supposed to look best for all those wedding pictures, but I was on my work on the way to Nordstrom's, 2 o'clock in the morning. I worked on the receiving dock, giving my car to my brother, and he gave me his bike, even trade, right? And so I was riding early in the morning, and I don't remember the accident, but I must have hit a wet patch, and road rash all across my face. Broken teeth. 2 front teeth broken. A couple weeks before it was about a month before the wedding. Looked great for the wedding. And so we weren't real happy about that. And a few days later, we had this Bruce Springsteen concert that we had tickets for. So my brother and I and Carrie and my brother's partner went to Bruce Springsteen. And, you know, within 15 minutes, I was, you know, achy. I was down. I was just wondering how things were going to go. I was nervous about being married. And boy, was I afraid. But then Bruce Springsteen gets out on stage. The screen door slams. Mary's dress sways. Like a vision, she dances across the porch as the radio plays. Love, the greatest rock song ever. Launches into Thunder Road, and all of a sudden, my burden was lifted. And in 20 minutes, I was dancing and singing at the top of my lungs. And at one point, I look over at my brother, and he is looking at me with these wide eyes. Who is this guy? This is not the quiet brother I know that I have to drag things out of. And I was dancing, and I was singing, I was making noise. It was rock and roll. Pitch is optional. We cry out together. So we gather together. And Bruce Springsteen isn't here. But Jesus is passing. If we cry out, maybe he'll stop. If we make enough noise, maybe we will hear the invitation. Get up, take heart. He's waiting for you. Let's make some noise together. Our faith will make us well. Amen.